He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the August 29th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. And we have a pretty good start to the market today, especially in tech. And it looks like even maybe even more specifically the AI, artificial intelligence stocks, leading the way so far. Right now the Dow is up 123 points. To 34,683. That's 36 basis points to the upside. But the NASDAQ is doing much better. It's up 79 basis points. It's up 109 to 13,813. The S&P 500 is up 25 points to 4458. That's almost 60 basis points to the upside, so that's a pretty good move. Again, led by tech so far from what I can see. The small caps are flat today. That's kind of surprising there. Crude oil's down 17 cents as Hurricane Idalia is headed towards Florida. We've got the 10-year at 4.21%, so you've had a calming down in the bond market, and that's helping the tech stocks mostly and the growth stocks with that bond market kind of overheated here recently, or their interest rates overheated. They're finally starting to cool off, and Bitcoin is up $75 to $26,145. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and we have a good start to the day so far. And just in the early look that I've had at some charts here, it looks like it's mostly the AI, the tech, the high-tech stocks, leading the way so far. Now, we'll see. I haven't had a chance to get into it, dig into it real thoroughly, but I will hear during the course of the show. The Dow was up yesterday, had a pretty good day. It was mostly 3M, however. They had their settlement with the earplugs.
Right, yep.
It was up 213 yesterday. And the NASDAQ actually finished up pretty strongly yesterday. It was up 115 points. Big tech was a little bit on the quiet side yesterday. But, you know, I think the market's taking its cue from interest rates.
Well, again, yeah, they're down. Yeah, interest rates down six basis points this morning. So we're down to almost a palatable 414. So
is that where we're at? I look, man. Yeah. Okay, it was. Mine hasn't been updated. I was looking at Yahoo. It was at 4.2.
Well, and right when you were doing the open, the JOLTS data, so the job openings data, came out, and actually, it unexpectedly fell in July. So job openings were only 8.82 million. They were expected, I think, to be 9.5 million. So less job openings, which is a sign for, you know, a better sign for inflation. Also shows that, what the Fed's doing, at least for this month, looks to be doing what it's supposed to do, really, in terms of slowing the job market.
That's what makes the market interesting. It's fluid. It's dynamic. It's moving all the time. I mean, from the time I looked just before the show to the time we started the show, 6 basis points is a pretty big drop.
Yeah, particularly where we were when you look at, you know, hitting 435 last week.
Yeah.
It seems like a couple of weeks ago, but I think it was just last week. And then now we're at 414 when I saw it under that 4.15 level. Makes sense that some of those tech names, particularly on the high PE.
Yeah, if you want proof that interest rates are driving the market more than anything these days, the market opened up kind of lukewarm. And then all of a sudden I saw it taken off. I said, wow, something's happened here. And, well, we just we just found out interest rates.
Okay. Yeah, they released, that was, I think the release was around 10:02, something right as we're logging
in. All right. Well, it looks like today could be even more fun than it already was. All right. So anyways, this is the final week of August. We will end August here in a couple days, start the final month of this quarter when we come back from a three-day weekend, Memorial Day, or not Memorial Day, Labor Day next week. You know, we're headed into the end of the third quarter of 2023. So anyways, the Jolts reports, I don't have them for you, but Barry obviously has seen them. They hadn't come in when we started the show. That's the job opening report, okay? Yeah, now, I don't know who supplies that. Somebody provides that, you know. So they read through all the classified ads, I guess, and it's all online now these days with Indeed and things like that.
Yeah, but anyways, and that's where it's funny because these, you know, just looking at these reports where, you know, it seems like they, you know, these things used to come out every, you know, every month, or, you know, some of them, obviously the weekly jobless claims, and now they're important because the Fed's watching them. So, one day we'll get to the point where, you know, Jolt's report comes out and no one even blinks an eye, but we're not there yet.
But right now we are just hyper focused on every move that the Fed makes. Generac stock rises. Well, you know, as you watch the Weather Channel, they have all these testimonials and ads for Generac, and, you know, this massive hurricane bombs your house, and the lights come back on, and everything's, you know, no problem. Well, I'm still waiting. I 1 year ago, over a year ago, I gave them a down payment. They've never completed hooking it up. So I hope we don't get hit too hard here tomorrow. We're supposed to get hit tomorrow night.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's just inept people, I don't know what it is. I mean, Generac contracts out to others, to install these things. My installation has been a nightmare. Nothing short of a nightmare.
And we've held their stock before in the past.
Yes. Now, I don't really blame it on Generac, okay? They provide the
equipment.
It looks
good.
It looks good. It's sitting there.
They made the generator.
That's it looks like it can handle quite a bit, but until it's hooked up, it can't handle squat. You know, it can't run anything. What do you call these?
Yeah, your little solar.
It can't run a crock pot right now.
Yeah, your little solar panel works better than that thing.
Yes. Okay. So, anyways, that's been my experience. They should get me on the Weather Channel and give my experience.
I hope,
but
no,
I don't think they're going to do that. Anyways, they've got a state of emergency for 45 counties. I talked to my sister yesterday. She's near Bradenton, Palmetto area, and she is under a mandatory evacuation. I think the scare there is that the Tampa Bay is going to rise 4 to 7 feet. She lives on a canal that is connected eventually to the Bay of Tampa. And so she was telling me about it there. It's going to head our way. Looks like it's going to come through Savannah, you know, northern Georgia there, and then or southern Georgia, and then come through our neck of the woods tomorrow night. But I'm seeing 30-mile-an-hour winds up this way. Now, I don't know about
water and a wind event in Florida, and then when it gets here, it should be more of a water event. I think we've got high tide about the same time, or a new moon, or whatever. You know,
yeah, we had a high tide yesterday. Right. This morning, it was really high as I was preparing the show, and that's always something we have to worry about. But it's also good for shrimp. I threw my little net off my pier yesterday, and I got some nice big shrimp for dinner last night. Something about the king tides and
pushes
and
them on
the
in.
Moon, and the moon does it, okay? So I'll be out there again as the tide is dropping right now, see if we can get some more. Okay, China is trying to do everything they can do to stimulate their economy. China makes their first tax cut on stock trading. Now, that's been a proposal here in the U.S. off and on for many years to, you know, charge some kind of a transaction tax every time you pull the trigger, even though Schwab charges nothing, even though all of the discount brokers charge nothing to make a trade. The government wants, has always talked about a tax. Well, China is went ahead and did it, and it obviously is not helping their economy because they're going to cut the tax on trading to help boost investor confidence. I guess they started it back in 2008. And I would just say, you know, putting taxes on things and heavy regulations don't really help the economy. And when things get tough, what do? They start cutting regulations and lowering taxes on some of those things. So that's what China's doing, along with more when we come back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a fee-based only nationwide money management firm. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and the market is getting a jolt in the arm today to the upside, you know, a nice jolt to the upside. I just, you know, went through our holdings, and it's our highest P.E. stocks that are doing the best today. And, you know, I like to measure them by ARK Funds, ARKK. It's up 3.3% today. You know, I've been writing about ARK recently, how it's a good leading indicator because it's at the outer edge of the P.E., you know, range. And ARK is up 3.4%. It's a proxy for the highest P.E. stocks in the market. So the AI stocks doing very well. You know, anything out there, the semiconductors, the software, that's what's leading the market today. The energy stocks basically flat today. That's the only area where I see not much taking place. Okay, China, their first tax cut on stock trading since 2008. They're also doing some other things. You know, they are the amount of collateral stock traders must hold with their brokers. In other words, you know, they can borrow.
Yeah, essentially take freeing
out more
up some
margin.
Yeah, freeing up some capital, basically.
Yes.
Essentially making, you know, not only kind of increasing the money supply is one way, but also, you know, increasing the velocity of money. So
yes,
you know, velocity. If you can lend more and keep less in reserves, or you know what have you, well then there's more money out there to find,
keep,
you know,
it moving
investment. Right.
Right. Yeah. China's State Bank is also set to cut mortgage rates and deposit rates this week. That's also, you know, there's their biggest issue is their real estate market.
Yeah.
So, they are looking to cut their interest rates for mortgages, and also, their deposit. Of course, you're going to get less, on deposits also. So,
which
yeah, they want that money
to
move. They want
it.
They don't want people parking money in the bank to earn a nice return.
Right. If you don't get as much interest there, then of course you may move it to a, you know, to a more, you know, risk-based asset, right? And
yes.
So that's kind of the thought process there. But it seems like they're, you know, it's almost they're turning a lot of different knobs, right? And none's really, it's, I guess,
not
it's
yet.
Really, you know, the market really hasn't, at least the Chinese market hasn't really responded much.
No. Okay, now, I'm in the kind of the camp with Wedbush here. You know, you hear me every day tell you what Morgan Stanley is saying, tell you what Wells Fargo, tell you what Citigroup is saying. Wedbush, they're more tech-oriented, I would say. They have really good coverage on a lot of the tech stocks.
Ives in the over there.
Yes, Dan Ives. They think that the tech stocks will rally into year end, led by Amazon, Alphabet, and Meta. I agree. You know, I think I still think that we're going to see a higher finish to the market by the end of the year. I think it will, obviously, I mean, the best growth remains in the tech sector. And we just went through a pretty good correction, you know, a real good hefty correction. A lot of those, FANG stocks were down 12% to 13%. You know, a couple weeks ago, I said the correction is over. And I think we called it to the day. And it's turned around, and you can see that if you look at the chart of ARK, A-R-K-K, you can see exactly where the correction ended. It was basically that Thursday and Friday. I said, I think it's over. It's coming to an end here. And it's turned around ever since. Now, will it continue into the end of the year? I think it can. A lot of that depends upon interest rate and our friend Jerome Powell. He kind of holds the key to all of that.
And the data will have something to say about it too, right?
Yes, all these jolts and jots and the
quits
PCE,
rate. Don't forget the
jobs
rate.
Report this Friday, that will all play into it. Okay, Microsoft's OpenAI introduces ChatGPT Enterprise. So now they're going after big business with their AI. And I've been saying that I think the number one AI stock in the market is NVIDIA, without question. Microsoft's number two, and I would have to say that Google Alphabet is number three at the current time. And it does look like companies, Square is starting to use the ChatGPT Enterprise, which is built for businesses. The Carlyle Group, Estee Lauder, and a few others. So that continues to be a big potential moneymaker for Microsoft. Microsoft stock has been pretty quiet recently. But, you know, the AI, I think, still has a lot of room to move. I hope you read my article on Friday in the newsletter about AI and about the stunning earnings report that we got from NVIDIA. Now, I submitted an article to Seeking Alpha yesterday afternoon, and I don't know where it is, Barry. It's not in pending anymore, and it's not been published yet. So it's in Seeking Alpha hell.
Or it's in that in between where they approve it and it hasn't shown up anywhere.
I guess it's in a black hole somewhere, along with my Generac generator. But hopefully we'll get this issue with Seeking Alpha. May just be their process, right, of approving it, and then a little gap in between printing it, publishing it. So keep your eye on Seeking Alpha during the day for a new article drop from Gunderson Capital. So that's out there. Meta, Google, and others are going to meet with Senator Schumer on AI next month. Of course, the government very worried about where this could lead. They should be worried. We should be worried. You get some wrong programming, you're having AI now write code, you get some wrong code in there and a plane might go. Who knows? I mean, there's just a myriad of possibilities of where this can go wrong. And I've always said, always have a pilot at the helm, even when it's on autopilot, okay? I've heard stories of people in boats putting their boat on autopilot and then going down and cooking breakfast and whatnot. Next thing, they're crashing into another boat or hitting an island or something like that. So, yeah, I just like, you know, in these cars with the autonomous cars, I'd keep one hand on the steering wheel.
Trust but verify, right?
Yeah. Okay, Oracle is getting an upgrade today. Now, we've identified Oracle as an AI stock. It's also a dividend payer. It's getting upgraded by, UBS upgrades Oracle gives it a 140 target price. It's currently at 120. Okay, when we come back, we got to talk a little bit about climate change. All right? I know you love that subject. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And like I say, the market got a jolt. And that jolt was a lower than expected jobs opening report. Instead of 9.5 million, only 8.5 million job openings. And the 10-year is down 7 basis points. We're clear down to 4.14 after being at 4.34, so we're down 20, almost 22, 23 basis points from the recent high during that correction in the market.
Which is a pretty big move.
But that's it's a big move.
You know, we're always talking about, you know, 0.2% here and there, right? But, I mean, in the bond market, it's been a, I mean, there's been some serious, you know, in terms of, you know, standard deviation, volatility in that,
yeah,
in that space, you know, particularly at the Treasury level.
And as a result of that, we've got the NASDAQ up 186, especially the higher end of the NASDAQ, the higher PE, artificial intelligence type stuff. And the Dow is up 167, but the NASDAQ on a percentage basis is up 3 times what the Dow is. The Dow's up 46 basis points. The NASDAQ's up 138 basis points. So that's where you're seeing the big action today, the higher PE, higher the growth area of the market. Okay, now, climate change. It's a big issue right now, very big issue. Exxon has their take. Exxon is out with a new report. They say that oil and natural gas will continue to meet more than half the world's energy needs in 2050. So they're going out, what, 27 years? While the world fails to keep the global temperature increase below 2 degrees Celsius, ExxonMobil said Monday in its annual global energy outlook. Energy-related CO2 emissions will drop 26% from the peak, from a peak expected this decade. So in other words, the CO2 emissions expected to peak sometime during this decade, to 25 billion metric tons by 2050. But that's still more than twice the 11 billion tons the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says would be needed for its 2-degree scenario that would limit the impacts of climate change. So in other words, there's a balance in there, okay? You'd have to go to, and that's going to be my next article, my next subject, because there was, I thought, pretty much a landmark article put out by The Guardian yesterday on what it's going to take. And they're really sounding the alarm. Exxon is basically saying, you know, it's going to peak 25 billion. It's expected to drop 26% from the peak, but we're not going to arrive at the 11 billion that the United Nations is shooting for. Therefore, not going to reach 2 degrees over the next 27 years. You know, that would be a drop in the average temperature. They say the energy transition underway, but it is not happening at the scale or on the timetable to required to achieve society's net zero ambitions. Well, you know, I mean, you could turn off the spigot tomorrow, I suppose, on oil, but you've got a price that got an economy to run.
I saw something where, I think it's since 2000, or maybe, I don't know if it's since they joined the World Trade Organization or what have you, but that I think China's released, I think, two-thirds of the total greenhouse emissions since 2000.
But, yeah, and
just,
of course
it was just a it was a, a, when I read it, like, I mean, it makes sense because you saw, you know, all the pictures of smog and things, you know, over the years. But you know, I was just like, they did two-thirds of the whole
that's
thing.
That's why U.S. has offered some major concessions to China if they'll go along with it. China's using that as a bargaining chip. And I don't think China has the wherewithal or the technology. I don't think they have any desire to decrease their carbon emissions, which, like you say, are two-thirds of the problem. Okay, so that's ExxonMobil. And they close with this. Fossil fuels remain the most effective way to produce the massive amounts of energy needed to create and support the manufacturing, commercial transportation, and industrial sectors that drive modern economies. So that's coming from their side, and obviously they're partial towards fossil fuels. That's their business. At the same time, it seems like they're being realistic. I mean, there's a fine line in there somewhere, a balance, I suppose. Now, I read a very alarming article from The Guardian yesterday. It was titled, "Has Humanity Finally Broken the Climate?" Have we broken the climate as humanity? Extreme weather, they say, is smacking us in the face with worse to come, but a tiny window of hope remains, say leading climate scientists. And, of course, that hope that they see is getting to zero. Zero emissions, right? Zero fossil fuel use.
Well, and that's where some of the carbon capture, like those, Equinor being, I saw an article where I think they started some thing
in Texas,
I believe. Yeah, right, in carbon capture. I mean, so there's a, you know, from an investment play standpoint, right, there's some, there's other avenues where, you know, I mean, to me, you got to figure out a way to, you know, suck the stuff out of the air, right? Versus, versus just doing
flipping
nothing,
the switch.
Right?
Or whatever, I mean, the alternative is to flip the switch and turn it off. Everything from your water heater to your stove, to your car, to trade, to commercial jets, airlines.
Right, which isn't feasible. So you got to figure, there's got to be some technology, right, advancement in, whether it's carbon capture or whatever it is, right?
But what will win out? The unfeasible, right? Because you have people that believe, that are saying it's dire. If we don't do it, the planet won't survive. That's one side of the coin. And the other side is saying, look, we're moving in that direction, but we can't just flip the switch. We got to run the economy. So anyways, the Guardian points to record-shattering heat waves, wildfires. Of course, you just had this Maui fire. You've had the Canadian wildfires. And they found that some of those have been set. Some of those were arsonist set. But they're claiming that there's more fires now than there were. Now, I grew up in Southern California. We had a fire season every single year. I've been evacuated more than once because of a fire. There's a lot of brush in Southern California.
And on the Gulf Coast. And on the Gulf Coast, we had a lot of hurricanes in terms of, I remember running from hurricanes, as a kid. Those are not new. It's just I think obviously the level of some of that activity, I guess, over.
But
over
now, okay, you've got the Guardian asking the question: have humanity's relentless carbon emissions finally pushed the climate crisis into a new and accelerating phase of destruction? This issue is being strongly debated, with accusations of doom mongering being countered with charges of complacency. The answer matters. How bad is it, and can we limit the damage? To find out, now here's where The Guardian goes for their answers. 45 leading climate scientists from around the world Okay, so that's there. You have to realize where people are going for answers to these days. And they're going to use 45 leading climate scientists. The scientists told us that despite it certainly feeling as if events had taken a frightening turn, the global heating seen to date was entirely in line with three decades of scientific. In other words, the climate scientists are saying we're right. We've been right, and it's proving we're being proved right every day. Being proved right was cold comfort, they said, as their warnings have so far been largely in vain. So I'll just leave it at that, okay? You've got ExxonMobil with their report out today, and at the same time, a very alarming article from The Guardian on the other side of the coin. Okay, so a few earnings coming in here. Best Buy, yeah, you know, that's a bricks and mortar. That's a problem. I can't remember the last time I was in a Best Buy store. That's just me. It's up 6%, however, today.
Yeah, well, they've changed their. They've actually executed well on the internet side of the equation.
So you mean online?
Thing. Yeah,
online.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right they really executed well in that space, and so that's another reason
yes.
why they're doing well versus. The Bed Bath and Beyond.
And then Neo is down, and Tesla looks to be the beneficiary of that because Tesla is roaring right now. Tesla's up 4.7%. Is it interest rates or Neo's bad report? Well, we'll look inside the market when we come back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back to the final segment of today's The Best Stocks Now show, where it's amazing that, you know, in the past, a JOLTS report, job openings, would not have been very market moving, okay? It just shows you how highly sensitive and focused the market is on every basis
point.
That is
data dependent. Right. I mean, that's the mantra, and it's true. That's when I was lined up when we were looking at the economic calendar this week. And I'm like, okay, we've got, the JOLTS today. I think tomorrow, I think maybe like some Chinese PMI. I know we have the ADP report. Thursday, we get the
farm.
Thursday, we get the PCE index. And then, yeah, like you said, on Friday, we get, the non-farm payroll. So it'll be, economic news, by a fire hose before Labor Day, right?
Yeah, and we could get bad news right before the end of the week.
Yeah.
But suffice it to say, the Nasdaq's up almost 200 right now at 1.34%. Now in the Dow, the leaders, Verizon, they got an upgrade today from somebody to a buy. Yeah, you know what? I think it was Citigroup or one of those sleepy Wall Street firms. Verizon's been going down all year long. Their earnings are flat. They pay a big dividend. But they're not even a single-digit grower anymore. They're basically a non-growth entity. Verizon's up 2.8%. Intel up 2% today. I haven't looked at a chart of Intel. That's a pretty good chart. That's a perky little chart. I haven't seen any movement in their earnings, however. They're still looking for $1.63 this year, $1.73 next year. And it's really very difficult to predict what Intel's growth rate will be going forward. I read today they're going to produce a chip that won't use as much energy as others. I don't think that's a game changer, but it is up 2% today. 3M's up another 2%. Microsoft's up 1.2 on the news that businesses, they've now got an enterprise version for ChatGPT, which is business. Apple's up 1.2. Pretty good chart on Apple. Nice turnaround taking place there since the correction ended about 2 weeks ago. Okay, as we look at the S&P 500, you never guess the leader in the S&P 500 today. Big Lots. which is the old pick and save.
Because they reported, I guess. I think you named off that they were reporting this week.
Yes, but they say it's a challenging environment, but still they came in. That's a bricks and mortar, barely hanging on survivor. Big Lots is up 26.1. That always tells me there was some big short interest in Big Lots. And they come in with a bigger report than expected, and the shorts are covering their short position. Same with Best Buy. Best Buy's up 6.2%. That's the second biggest winner in the S&P. These are bricks and mortar retail. The third biggest winner is GameStop. These are all companies that are struggling in the bricks and mortar space, but today, GameStop's up 5.2. Okay, then we get into some good stocks. Tesla is having a really good day. I think part of it's the Jolts report, which is giving a boost to higher PE stocks. And the second one is probably the bad report out of NIO. NIO's losing market share, and you got to believe that that's good for Tesla because it's probably going to Tesla. Tesla's up 4.2% right now. Also in the S&P 500, Gap Stores, another bricks and mortar, is up 4%. And then you have NVIDIA having a good day. NVIDIA is up 3.1%. Have they dropped my article yet, here, Barry? I'm going to look real quickly here.
I'm pulling it up. Yeah, that's what I was about to check.
It's in hell, or they've lost it, or something. But, you know, it's not. Usually you see it in pending articles. Nothing there in pending articles. So then you go to published articles, and nothing there. Okay? And this has been going on for 2 hours now, Barry, just so you know.
Oh,
my frustration with writing articles for Seeking Alpha. But we'll get to the bottom of it. I'll leave it up to you.
Yeah, I see a draft. Bottom. I see a draft in there, but yeah.
No, I submitted it, and then it said, okay, it's under review,
okay.
And then it disappeared. All right, over at the NASDAQ. Oh, let's not forget Alphabet's up 2.8% too today. Over at the NASDAQ, the leader is MEL, Mercado Libre, up 5.2%. Then Tesla's the biggest U.S. company winner in the NASDAQ today with its nice gain. NVIDIA is number two, and number three is Google. So you could say it's all about AI today. Google is up 2.8%. Nice move. There was a good article out yesterday about Google is ready to unleash Bard, which is their answer to ChatGPT. And I also saw a little chip company that makes equipment report that their sales of AI packaging for chips is soaring. Okay, so obviously there's some real lift coming through AI. I don't think it's over. We saw a lot of that buzz last week that the AI fervor has peaked. I don't think that's the case. AMD is up 2.7%. And Broadcom's up 2.1, and Lam is up 2.1. So there you go. There's
a good bit of green on the screen. It's nice to see.
There's a lot of green, and it all pretty much has something in common. It's either bricks and mortar related because of Big Lots report. Not exactly a market leader.
Airbnb's getting a boost today, too.
Airbnb's getting a big shot in the arm.
Yeah.
It's a high PE stock also. It's also a very good growth stock. And then I would say the artificial intelligence is right there. All right. Well, we hunker down. They're hunkering down in Florida. They're going to get hit tomorrow morning. We're going to get hit tomorrow night. And in the meantime, the Jolts, have given the market a jolt here and has brought interest rates down 7 basis points. So that's the biggest reason you're seeing this market to move today. If you didn't get the newsletter last week, our latest macro forecast and target price, S&P 500, along with our featured stock of the week. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST, and we're coming to Michigan in October 16th, 17th, and 18th. Okay, have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.